in verse 13. Well, let me go ahead and pray before we proceed on. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We honor him. We honor him. We reverence him. Hallelujah. We're honored that he is in our midst. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And now, Father, as I minister your word, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and a heart to receive your word. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And it's in that anointing that I'm resting. Hallelujah. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen with me.
Amen.
Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, the word of God says, watch. Everybody say watch. Stand fast. In other words, you stand firm. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Amen. Now, we talked about the fact that strength comes. One of the ways, and I'm talking about a number of ways that we can grow stronger in the things of God. One of the ways that we've discussed already is that our strength comes through our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was number one. Number two, we found out that strength comes when we receive the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God and we receive the Word of God, and we choose to agree with what the Word of God says. Amen? When it comes to the Word of God, I choose not to have an opinion. I choose not to have an opinion. I choose to go with what the Bible says. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want us to go to number three for a little bit this evening. This is very important, folks, especially now. It's always been important, but especially now in the time we're living in now. And it's our faith. It's our faith. Strength comes through your faith in God. Amen? I'm here to tell you that we cannot live a victorious life without faith. We can't walk by our feelings. We can't walk by our emotions. You know, we can't make decisions. We just can't make emotional decisions or decisions based on our feelings. We have to make our decisions based on the Word of God if you want to be successful, if you want to be victorious. Amen. Now, I won't us to look at a verse of scripture, and I'll tell you where it is in just a moment. But in a few days, I'm going to have a birthday, another one, amen. And it's a blessing to have birthdays. And by the way, let me just throw this out at everybody that's listening to my voice right now. If you are complaining about getting old, you need to repent. You need to stop it. Stop complaining about the extra wrinkles that you see on your face. Stop complaining about those extra strands of gray hair that you're finding. Let me tell you something. Every strand of gray hair you see in your head, you need to count it as a blessing. Count it as a blessing. Amen. Because believe me, there is another alternative to getting old. And that's called dying young. I would prefer to get old. How about you? I'm not caught up on my looks. I mean, you know, they make things to help you out in that area. They do. Making a lot of money. They're making a whole lot of money. But my thing is, what I'm telling you is, don't fight your age. Amen. Sister Kyla, what's your saying? You ain't really live till you get old? Is that what you say? I may have it wrong. You said something about getting old, and I like what you said. Yeah, that's one. But isn't it, you haven't lived until you get old? Is that it? All right. Amen. But I think, is that it? I think she said you really hadn't lived till you get old. Amen. You hadn't lived till you get old. So listen, strive to get old. Work on getting old. And believe God you're going to be whole, old and healthy. Amen. Old and strong. Amen. Hallelujah. We got some folks in here that can testify to that. Don't get offended if somebody tell you you're getting on up there. If you're getting on up there, you're getting on up there. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, as I mentioned my birthday for this reason. My birthday is May 4th. Every year, it's on the same day. May 4th is my birthday. So a sister brought this to my attention some years ago. I would mention her name, but I don't even know if she wants her name mentioned since we're live streaming, so I won't mention her name, but precious sister in the Lord. But she brought this to my attention. We were talking about my birthday, and she told me to go to 1 John, the 5th chapter. So let's do that right now. 1 John chapter 5. Now this may not work for you, okay? But you know, I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody, but it worked for me. Now, what month of the, I mean, May is what number in the year? Five. Okay? It's five. Okay, so let's just go to 1 John chapter 5, okay? And of course, it's the 5th month, and of course, my birthday is the 4th day of the 5th month. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Now, don't be disappointed if you try that with your birthday and it's, okay, this just happened to work for me, okay? but in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Now remember, we're talking about faith, developing your faith, becoming, growing your faith, because that's going to make you stronger in God, cause you to be stronger and victorious. So the 4th verse of the 5th chapter says, "For whatever is born of God," that's me. And you can say that too. That's you. Amen. Amen. "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world." I declare that I'm a world overcomer. Will you join in with me on that? Amen. Amen. Your birthday may not be May 4th, but you can still be a world overcomer. Amen. Hallelujah. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world." What is it? "Even our faith," or if you're reading from the New King James Version like I am, "our faith." Hallelujah. Did you grab a hold of that? Let me read it to you again. "For whatever is born of God," now this word "whatever" is referring to whoever, okay? "Whoever. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We are world overcomers. I said we are world overcomers. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Everybody say victory. Victory, by the way, is the opposite of defeat. It's the opposite of defeat. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. You hear me? Our faith. We must keep our faith strong. And I want to go ahead and read the fifth verse. Who is he who overcomes the world? Say, that's me. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes? Everybody say, I believe. If you believe, say, I believe.
I believe.
But he who believes that Jesus is what? Who? Who? He or she who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Think about that for a moment. When things look dark, look dim, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When it seems like you're not going to make it, Jesus Christ is still the Son of God. Well, what do you mean by that? Jesus Christ is still Lord over all. Hallelujah. No wonder the writer say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comforts me. Listen, we have a comforter when we're in the valley. Jesus is still Lord. He is still the Son of the living God. He is still Lord. He is Lord over my darkness. And I'll fear no evil. Glory to God. Amen. So I love 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Amen. Praise God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says that we, listen to me, we walk by faith and not by sight. So even in the midst of the valley, we are still to walk by faith. When you're on the mountaintop, you walk by faith. When you're down in the valley, you walk by faith. Our lives, listen to me, our lives is to be a daily faith walk. A daily faith walk. Now, you have to understand that the devil is a defeated foe. You know that, right? But he does have some smarts. What do I mean by that? When he realized that what he's trying on you ain't working, he's not going to continue to do that. He's going to look for something else. So that's the reason we need to continuously stand and not be so so easy to give up. You hear me? Even when he tempted Jesus, remember? When it didn't work, what did he do? He left. The Bible says he left for a season. In other words, he went back to strategize. All right, we tried this. That don't work on him. And we tried that. That don't work. Can't get him to turn stones into bread. Can't get him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Can't get him to do any of that stuff. So we're going to find another way. But let me tell you, if you are content, please hear me. If you are continuously dealing with the same problem month after month, year after year, maybe you need to step back a minute and say, wait a minute, am I really taking a stand against this thing? Because if it's still coming at me, then the forces of darkness must think that they can defeat me in this. They must think that there is a chance that we can whip him. You listening to me? No. It's time to take your stand. Jesus didn't play around. He didn't play. And we don't need to play. If you know it's not God, don't play with it. I need to repeat that. If you know it's not God, don't play around with it. Deal with it. Kick it out of your life. Because it is there to destroy you. You know, if you play with a snake long enough, a poisonous snake, which I don't play with any of them, but if you play with a poison snake long enough, he going to get you sooner or later. Because that's what he do, bite. You hear me? That's what snakes do. They bite. So if you play around with them, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to get bit. I've heard the older people say when I was younger that, you know, if you play around with fire, have you heard that? Yeah. If you play around with fire long enough, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. No, you just go ahead and deal with it. Deal with it and be done with it. Get the devil out of your life. Say, no, you're not camping here. You're not camping here. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You have to understand, and you've heard me tell you this many, many times, but it bears repeating often. If you want to please God in your life, if you want to be pleasing to him, if you want him pleased with you, you are going to have to live a life of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Put it on the screen for me, please. You can turn there if you would like. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I can quote it, but I'd like for you to read it, be able to see it yourself. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is him? Yeah, God, Jesus, yeah. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, let's take another look at that. I want you to grab a hold of this before we move on. This verse says a lot. First of all, let me say again, it says, without faith is it impossible to please him. Now, impossible, that's a very strong word. So without faith, you can't please him. That's the reason you can't get saved without faith. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't shout enough. You can't sing enough. You can't preach enough. All that stuff is fine. But the Bible tells us we're saved by faith. Amen. Right? Amen. We're saved by our faith. In other words, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must. All right, we got, number one, we got impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. All right, you got that. Now he that come to him must, everybody say must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. Oh, but look at the last one. And must, I'm just adding that in because that's what it's saying, and must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now let me read it. I'm not adding to the scriptures now. I'm not adding to the scriptures. Let me read it. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And you see that word and? That connects what was just said to what's about to be said. And that he is a rewarder. So we must believe that he is a rewarder. You hear me? We must believe that he is a rewarder. What is a reward? A reward is a blessing. Let me say that again. A reward is a blessing. A reward is something that makes our lives easier, makes our lives more joyous. Beginning with our salvation. Whatever we need. We need our body. If we need our bodies healed, he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him, not just half-hearted at it. Like, hurry up and heal me, Lord, so I can get back out in the world and do my thing. No, that's not what we're talking about. But we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, you're serious about this thing. You're not playing around. You're putting effort into it. You're spending time in his word. You're spending time in prayer. You're spending time in fellowship with him. Amen? Amen. But it's all by faith. It's all by faith. Praise God. Wow. Time is flying, right? Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Let's go backwards to Galatians chapter 3. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, you hear folks, some folks say things like this. Well, you know, I don't want to hear nothing about faith. You know, I don't want to hear any of that faith stuff. You know, if you feel that way, then you don't want to hear the gospel. You don't want to hear the word of God, because the word of God begins in faith, ends in faith. And we just read Hebrews 11:6. Without it, it's impossible to please him. You need to get that down on the inside of you. Get that in your spirit. I cannot please God without faith, without believing him, without trusting him. Turn, you should have Galatians. Do you have Galatians chapter 3? Okay. I'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" And look at verse 2. "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Wow. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And what's the answer to that question? The hearing of faith, absolutely. Glory to God. The hearing of faith. Drop down to verse 5. "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you," you see that? "Does," this is another question, "does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And the answer is the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. And faith, as it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Put Romans 10:17 on the screen for me, please. Romans 10:17. "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Folks, that's the reason I put so much emphasis on the word of God and hearing the word of God and believing the word of God, because listen, I believe in miracles. How about you?
Amen.
And I believe that we're about to see miracles increase like we have never seen or witnessed before. But do you know something? And listen to me, and I'm going to close here shortly. But you have to understand something. If God is going to work miracles, he must have vessels to work through. He must have people that believe his word. He must have people that believe what he says. Every time, listen to me, every time I lay my hands on someone to be healed or pray for their healing, my faith is out there. Because, look, if I don't believe it myself, why should I lay my hands on you? I'm wasting your time, my time, and God's time. Well, Pastor, did everybody get healed, or did the healings manifest that you laid your hands on over the years? No. That's not my problem. But the Bible says, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But see, I've got to do my part. I got to lay my hands on, you know, I can lay my hands on you, or any person for that matter can lay our hands on you, but if you don't receive it, it's not going to do any good. You have to believe also. You have to be willing to receive also. That's the reason Jesus would ask him many times, do you believe? Do you believe I can do this? We're co-laborers with God. We have to believe. We have to receive. That's the reason without faith it's impossible to please him. So if you are sick in your body and you want someone to pray with you or lay their hands on you, you need to get your faith out there to receive. Well, such and such laid their hands on me and nothing happened. Nothing. Whoa, hold up. Where's your faith? Where is your faith? Are you placing your faith in a man or a woman? Or are you placing your faith in God and his word? Because the minister is only a vessel. Yes, God anoints vessels. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we should want God, let me say it this way, we should want the anointing of God to grow stronger and stronger and stronger every day of our lives. But it's still going to take the other person's faith. The anointing of God can be so strong on an individual that when they lay his hands on that person, the power of God hit them and they hit the floor slain in the spirit. But they can still reject it. Just because a person fall don't mean they got healed. And just because they don't fall don't mean they didn't get healed. Hallelujah. But we need to get ready to see God work miracles. See sinners come to Jesus. See the sick get healed. How many of you want to be used by God? Let me see your hand. How many of you want to be used by God? Amen. I don't know which camera on me. Somebody tell me. You who up there, which camera is on me? This one? This one? This one? Right there. How many of you out there want to be used by God? Wave at me so I can see. I can't see you. But I hope your hand's up that you want to be used by God. You first got to believe it. You've got to walk the walk of faith. Hallelujah. Our faith has to grow. You have to feed your faith. Matter of fact, I heard one person say we need to feed our faith and starve our doubts. Feed our faith and starve our doubts. Feed your faith. God wants to use you because it's good to believe God for things, for finances, or whatever you need in your life. But that's not all God wants to do through you. He wants to use you and me to be a blessing to someone else. Don't have to wait for the preacher to lay hands on it. Do you know, I can't get to everybody. No minister can get to everybody. But you know, you can go places I can't go. You will meet people that I won't meet. But God will work miracles with you just like he will with me. If you only believe, like the song says, only believe. Trust God and grow in your faith. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. May we grow in our faith. May we grow stronger in you. Glory to God. By developing our faith in you, by trusting your word. Hallelujah.